Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Some people are procrastinators. Others live with a sense of urgency. And it is probably true. I'm a procrastinator, so I'm not convinced. But they say procrastination is not a good habit for this temporal life. But there is no debate about the disastrous results when it comes to procrastination in matters of eternal life. There are many people all over the world who know what God's word teaches, that the wages of sin is death, and that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. But many are indifferent. They're not concerned. They don't care much about the thought of eternal death and damnation. Many think that they can wait until the waning hours of their lives and then get things right with God. But life happens fast. Suddenly, death catches many unawares, just like the man in Jesus' parable of the rich fool. He had many riches, so he wished to tear down his barns and build bigger ones so that he could store up all his wealth for years. Well, he sat back and relaxed, eat, drink, and was merry. The rich man planned on everything but an early death. He placed his trust in his riches rather than God the Father in heaven. In other cases in our world, folks have disbelieved the gospel for so long, they can never come to faith in their old age. And it's not that God is not calling them, and it's not that they could not be called to faith, but old age and stubbornness comes along that rejects the Holy Spirit. There's a sense of urgency that runs through all of our scripture readings this morning. Time is short. God is going to act. Four times in the book of Revelation, St. John records Jesus saying, "I am coming soon." So you have been warned. There are no excuses. But you and I often do not live as if today could be our last day on earth. We talk the talk as if we really truly believe that Jesus is coming soon, but many times we lack the urgency. We talk and talk and talk about how we need to spread the good news of Jesus to those who don't know Jesus, but that's all we do is talk about spreading the news. We're all talk and no do. We don't share the good news of forgiveness of sins and salvation in Christ among those who are lost. And unfortunately, time is running out. Time was running out for the people of Nineveh in our Old Testament reading this morning. But Jonah didn't want to be the one to bear the bad news. Within all of Scripture, Jonah is the only prophet who blatantly disobeyed God's call. God told him to go to Nineveh and call the people to repentance. Jonah ran in the opposite direction. In the days of Jonah, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, a powerful, ruthless, and sinful city. Jonah didn't want to be God's messenger. He knew that the people of Nineveh were enemies of God and Israel. So in his mind, well, what's the big deal if God destroys them? They don't like God anyway. It's no big deal. So instead of heeding God's call, Jonah jumps on a ship and sails the opposite direction toward Tarshish, where he would be far away from the people of Nineveh and also thinking he would be far away from God. But Jonah underestimated the gracious love of our Lord God. He didn't understand that God takes no pleasure in the death of anyone, but desires that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, even your enemies today. So God sent a great storm upon the waters, so great that it seemed that the ship was about to break apart. And when the ship's crew found out that it was Jonah who was running away from God, well, they threw him overboard. And immediately, God intervened. God saved the sailors, calming the waves. And in his rich love and mercy, God appointed a great fish to save Jonah from drowning by swallowing him, saving him in the belly of the fish for 3 days and nights. And while inside the fish, Jonah prayed that God would rescue him from inside of the fish, and God heard his prayer. God spoke to the fish and vomited him up on dry land. And that's when the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, telling him, go to Nineveh and preach repentance to the people. This time, Jonah heeded God's call to be his mouthpiece. Jonah called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And immediately by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through God's proclaimed word, the people of Nineveh turned from their sin and they repented. They showed God just how sorrowful they were for their sins by covering themselves in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. And when God saw their sorrow and repentance, he had mercy on them and did not destroy them. Now, there are a lot of critics in the world today who say that the story of Jonah is nothing more than a fable. They say that it's the original fish story. But we believe that it is a historical event that happened at a certain place and time in history. Jesus himself attests to the veracity of the story, saying, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So the book of Jonah demonstrates God's divine love, mercy, and grace. God is patient and long-suffering toward undeserving and stubborn sinners. He wants all to come to repentance. And we see in the book of Jonah, God saved those pagan sailors from the effects of the storm. And in turn, they feared God and offered him sacrifices. God saved the rebellious Jonah from death and Sheol. God converted the people of Nineveh to faith in him by means of his word preached by Jonah. There are many parallels between Jonah and our lives. Many times, like Jonah, you don't want to heed his call. You don't want to heed his word. You turn your back on him and run in the opposite direction. And God may not call you to be a pastor, but he does call you in your vocation, your station in life, to share the good news of salvation in Christ Jesus with others. But perhaps you procrastinate, find other things to do instead. You prefer to be a Christian incognito, to keep your faith invisible so others don't persecute you. Heaven forbid if you made someone mad. But if you and I truly loved our neighbors as ourselves, we would want our friends and loved ones to know the love of Christ, Christ crucified for sinners such as you and me. We would want our loved ones to know that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and that the time has grown very short. Most times, we're like those people in Nineveh. We daily sin much and don't give a whole lot of thought about it. We just go on about our sinful business. You want to live by your own rules rather than heeding God's word in Scripture. You classify one sin as greater than another, thinking your sins, they're just not quite that offensive to God than Charlie down the street. Boy, is his offensive. You think, surely God understands why I'm doing this, the extenuating circumstances and all. Or, I have plenty of time to repent of my sins. Right now I'm having too much fun. You and I lack a sense of urgency. Through Jonah, God gave the people of Nineveh a 40-day warning of their impending doom. And they didn't wait 40 days. They repented immediately. They didn't wait until the last couple days or even the last couple minutes. They heard the word of God, and the law struck their stone-cold hearts. They felt the guilt of their sin, and they repented. St. Paul is another one who was struck with repentance. He was also called to be God's mouthpiece. Wherever he went, Paul preached with a sense of urgency. In our epistle text this morning, he says, the appointed time has grown very short. The present form of this world is passing away. You know Paul's background. He was a murderous Pharisee. But like God calling the rebellious Jonah, Jesus called the murderous Paul. As he was traveling along the road toward Damascus, he struck him temporarily blind, but Paul responded immediately to Jesus' call. It was only a matter of a few days later that his sight was restored, and he was found preaching in the synagogue, preaching that Jesus is God's own son. And in our gospel text, Jesus begins his earthly ministry with a sense of urgency, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus pulls no punches. God's kingdom, his reign and rule, come to earth in the flesh of man, and his kingdom does not wait for procrastinators. Jesus doesn't say, here's the message, go home and think about it, I'll be back around in a week or two to see if you've made a decision. No, he doesn't persuade, he does not coerce, he does not deceive. He saw Simon and Andrew casting a net into the sea and said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, when the king of the kingdom calls and says, follow me, you and I follow, no questions asked. And these first disciples asked no questions. They didn't waste any time in responding to Jesus' call. They immediately left their nets and followed him. And then a little further along down the shore, Jesus came upon James and John. They not only walked off the job and followed Jesus, they left the family business, leaving their dad Zebedee and the hired servants sitting there on the boat. They followed Jesus. They were going to become fishers of men. It sounds like an old message, but Jesus' message of 2,000 years ago is his same message to you and all mankind today. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. When Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg, his very first theses said, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. And repentance begins with contrition. You admit your sinfulness and your desire to change your ways to God your Father. As St. John teaches in his first epistle letter, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the problem is, you and I cannot believe in the gospel by our own reason or strength. The ability to repent and believe comes only through the power of the Holy Spirit working within you through word and sacrament. And that's where the good news comes in. Fellow believers, you were adopted by God in his holy kingdom in the waters of holy baptism. It was at the font that you received the gift of faith and the Holy Spirit so that you can believe in Jesus Christ your Lord and follow him, all through hearing God's holy word. And you and I still daily sin much, so we must daily repent of our sins And then your Savior daily comforts you with the truth of God's word, telling you your sins are forgiven, your salvation is secure. He tells you the truth that through his suffering and death on Calvary's cross, he has won for you forgiveness of sins. He has won victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. And for his sake, your sins are forgiven, always, always forgiven, including your sin of procrastination of sharing God's good news of salvation of Jesus, your sin of being a Christian incognito. For all who repent and believe in the gospel, that is, trusting in God's reign in Christ, they find themselves in the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is not necessarily primarily a place. It doesn't come by some magical power. God's kingdom is also a divine action that occurs wherever Jesus is, performing his kingly duties of salvation through his word, the good news of the reign of God in Christ Jesus. God's kingdom also comes invisibly and mysteriously as the Holy Spirit works faith in unbelieving hearts, in rebellious sinners, through hearing the gospel. God's kingdom comes wherever and whenever people live by faith in the one who died for them. God's kingdom also comes in the future when you join him eternally. Dear Christian, we are blessed because to perform his kingly duties, Christ Jesus left the glory of heaven, put on the flesh of man to fulfill all of God's promises about winning salvation for the world. He came to keep God's law in your stead because you and I cannot keep it. He came to pay the price of your sins on Calvary's cross with his precious blood and his innocent suffering. That is Christ crucified for you. And he has given you the Holy Spirit, enabling you to share the redeeming love of Christ Jesus that God has for all sinners. Brothers and sisters in Christ, time is short, and the message is urgent. And it's the timeless message that the church has proclaimed throughout the centuries. The message is the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that delivers to you the forgiveness of sins. And you know that wherever there is forgiveness of sins, there also is eternal life and salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.